Welcome to the Boldly Business Podcast, brought to you by Sage and Fin24. I am your host, Graham Richards. In this podcast, we chat to a range of dynamic entrepreneurs across Mzansi as they take us through their journey to profit. Through the season, we will identify their mistakes so you don't have to repeat them, get game-changing tips, and learn from their lessons to get you closer to being the business owner you want to be. In today's episode, we have the pleasure of sitting down with Thandi Mbulaheni, the Squin CEO. So for a bit of background, growing up as a young girl in Soweto, Johannesburg, it was always her dream to see the world. And in 2018, she settled down in one of the most beautiful places in the world, Cape Town, to take up the stewardship of a small indie skincare brand that you might have heard of called Squin. That's, of course, Afrikaans for clean. Squin represents everything that we love about Africa. Our vibrant, innovative formulas are a joyful celebration of our communities and flora. That's according to the brand. This local skincare brand includes local indigenous botanicals unique to South Africa and other African countries, used for millennia by local tribes. I love that. It is Thandi's ambition to leapfrog this well-loved local South African brand onto the world stage, and she certainly sounds like the right person to do it. With 15 years of brand building experience with blue chip FMCG companies, she has all the expertise to drive growth and storytelling into Squin, which is vital. A very warm and bold welcome to the Bold Leap Business Podcast, Thandi. That CV got me excited. Excited about the brand, excited about you. It is vital for me in these crazy times because no one globally has been unaffected to do a little check-in. So first of all, before we talk about your amazing business and your own trajectory in that, how are you? How have you endured the last year and a half?
Yeah, the last, I would say, 18 months have been hellish, to say the least. Especially for South Africans, for the normal, you know, family, but also for businesses, especially entrepreneurs. We're running a business, you're employing people, but then you have the stop, start. And then to add on that, all our raw materials, packaging materials are coming from international markets. So you have this logistic nightmare. So it was like a hell in
it. How are those imports treating you?
So you have 3 months long lead times of exporting. So it was a rude awakening type of experience, but also it was a learning curve because now you're thinking outside the box. You're thinking, you're forward thinking of understanding what else can come, and also ensuring that ideally it's not of ideal currently, but from a cash flow. Now you have to obviously start buying more because you're bringing things in because of all these logistic nightmares. So it does impact your cash flow because now your inventory is sitting there. So cash is sitting there in inventory. But it's those type of things that make you an agile manager, business owner, because you know that there is demand. Customers, especially with the e-commerce, especially last year, literally there was so much demand coming from our D2C e-commerce channel that you either have stock or demand goes. So it was that mix. But
gotta act, think fast.
Yes. So it was that. And if I look at take a step back, for me, it was a lot of learning, a lot of growth, and it made us a resilient company because coming out of it, now we know what to expect and how to deal with our partners and, more importantly, our customers.
I'm glad you said more importantly, our customers, because that's at the end of the day what every business, large or small, is there to do. And I think, if anything, COVID has forced us to look at that as a more meaningful relationship. It's not just about bottom line. It's a two-way flow.
I always tell my team it's a dialogue. It's no longer a monologue. Where in the past, as a lifelong marketeer, I used to tell, you know, you advertise on TV, you do radio ads, and it was just a monologue, here, buy this product. Now with this new age, and especially with COVID, our customers are calling us, are wanting to talk to us on social media. So for me, that dialogue, that intimate space, this is for me a new territory, which I enjoy versus my previous, where it was basically here, go and buy.
He who spends the most money on television advertising has the best bottom line, for sure. But now choices matter, and we care about what we put into our body and what we put on our body, hence the birth of Skuin. Tell us about the company. What is Skuin all about?
Yes. So Skuin was founded in 2015 by Stella Cioli. So she's the founder and my business partner. So when I asked her, how do you form the company? She said she basically went through a local newspaper. There was a small filler article. And that article basically said, on average, people use 115 ingredients to basically either wash their face or moisturize. And when she saw that and saying 115 ingredients, and then she went into her bathroom vanity and opened up and checked all the ingredients. And literally a lot of them were toxic. A lot of them were not clean. And it was a laundry list of basically things that she's never heard of. So for her, it was more of how do I bring products that are clean, that are non-toxic, that are basically from the environment and into the customer's life. So it was all about simplicity, about you don't need a laundry list of things. It's basically the simpler, the better. So that's how for her, Skuin came up into being. And then they brainstormed the names. There were multiple names because, yes, she's an Afrikaans lady. Skuin basically made sense. And for me coming into the brand, I always tell her, Skuin for me was actually perfection because I'm from the township. And in the township, when something is perfect, where you're looking good, we say you're Skuin.
You're Skuin.
You're Skuin. Yeah. So for me, it just shows you that this brand can, you know, it started as the skincare, but it can be a lifestyle brand where it's not just about the cleanness of the ingredient, but the overall exuding that confidence. So I always laugh at that for me it was a perfect name because it interacts with, yes, our Afrikaans community, but also with our Black community.
Simplicity is key. You have said this, especially for a company, and I know we're going to go through the kind of the journey of maturation of this company, hence your introduction as the CEO. What are the products that are on offer? Because surely you can't push the boat out too far and then go and sell 50 different products. You need to also be simplistic in your product offering so that you can make sure you're selling what you're producing.
So for me coming into the business, and luckily Stella agreed with this, it's not about basically being wide from a portfolio. It's not about stretching and have multiple SKUs, because then you're not driving that simple message of actually less is more. Yes, you can have deep products in the sense of you can have a moisturizer that basically a number of SKUs in it. So to answer your question on the products, we basically are we have topicals. Which is what you apply on your face. So we have your cleansers, your moisturizers, your serums, and your concentrates. And then last year we launched the first, I would say ever, especially for an indie skin brand, ingestible beauty. Well, we call it the 360 Skin Inside Out, where it's basically a beauty smoothie that has all the vitamins, the nutritions that basically help. Because I didn't know this. What I love about Stella is we basically help each other with all the information. So she's more the science brain, I'm more the marketing brain. And she told me, saying, Tandy, do you know that your skin health starts from the gut?
I was going to say, it's probably a ridiculous, like an 80-20 split.
Exactly. Yeah. I didn't know that. I just thought, like any average person, your skincare is basically, you know, you're either born with it, which is in some cases is genetic. But I didn't understand that how the gut came into being. So how Ingestible Beauty was born was that information of actually, let's go into the root cause of skin health. And the root cause of skin health is gut health. And we basically put together these, or she obviously as a head of R&D, put together these Nutri Cosmetics, which one is targets elasticity, sagging and wrinkles. One targets hyperpigmentation, which basically affects both white skin and brown skin. And the other one is breakouts, especially for your Gen Zs and millennials. That's basically the problem. And all of them have targeted ingredients that are clean, that are natural, that are to the brand ethos. And when you drink that and apply your skin, your Skoon skin topicals, we are giving you a 360 skincare routine. We're currently no brand, I can venture to say even international big brands, no one is offering this 360 deliverable. So for me, that's what excites me. We are a small brand, but very innovative, very forefront in what we are building. So I don't know if I did answer for my portfolio. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you got me really excited because it's I'm of that age. And every time you talk about sagging skin, I'm wondering why you're looking at my face, but I obviously have been able to, luckily from my position in my job in media, examine this from numerous angles. And it's amazing that you are approaching it from that perspective, the 360. I get that. But then you are very bravely building your entire brand image around indigenous botanicals. Sounds great, but then you've got to actually have a supply chain. You've got to be able to take that R&D and create products out of that. I mean, why the choice to focus on that specifically?
I think for me, the choice was also me coming into the business and stamping my own strategy and direction for the company. Because I didn't want to come in and just basically say, oh, this is what Stella and the previous people had. It was basically what also I saw. And, you know, I've worked international markets. I'm a South African. I'm an African. And I've lived in Soweto, in the townships. And what I grew up with was seeing the mamas and the gogos in basically where I grew up will take sand and especially when it rained, because then it became fertile and strong, they'll apply that to their face. They'll basically forage foraging now is like
it's
thing.
So hot right now.
Exactly. When I grew up, foraging was there.
It was so, for survival. Yeah,
exactly. So if I looked at my history and my neighborhood, for me, botanicals were always there. Botanicals, especially with regards to the benefits either of health, skin care, was always there. So for me, it was not new. So now this new trend of clean beauty, botanicals, when everyone is talking about it, yes, it's nice and trending, but that's where I've been set back. Yeah. I'm like, actually, I grew up with it. So to answer your question, that's when I sat with Stella and said, let's look at the formulas. She already had boohoos in those formulas. And we get boohoo from our farmers here in Cape Town. We had rosehip in our rosehip oil, which we sourced these rosehip from farmers in Lesotho. We had shea butter from Ghana, where we source it from a supplier in Ghana. So she had already these things, but from a marketing, because she doesn't have the marketing lens or eye, she wasn't talking that. She was just talking more the clean beauty, the science of it. And for me, from a storytelling and from giving it a much more body, it was how do we then communicate where these things come from and the history of where these ingredients, the benefit of these ingredients. So that's how the botanicals came into being and evolved.
CEO, I'm assuming, just listening to you, that you probably could have taken any job anywhere in the world by the path that you were on. Let's be honest, you chose this gig. You chose to work in the online space with this amazing product. Why? What motivates you in your role now?
So for me, why I wanted to leapfrog from the normal FMCG building that business into this online fast moving, it's because this is if FMCG is fast moving, this is something else.
This is light speed.
This is light speed. But the fundamentals was we basically talk to it's all about human connections. It's all about selling brands to humans or services. And for me, it's taking that, saying I've done that. But the nice thing about online is that the human beings that I'm talking to, I'm now interacting with them directly. They are on my Instagram, sending me messages. They are on my email, info email. They are calling me. They are on my Facebook. They are on my TikTok. So there are all these things where in my past life, it was, as I said earlier, TV and radio, they're sitting at home, you're shooting a commercial, you don't know who is your customer from that sense. So for me, online.
Now you actually know your customer by name.
So online for me excited me. I could take all that education, all that experience, but now literally understand and talk to Graham, my customer. And then he can come and say, I'm not happy with this, or I'm happy with this. And we can have a conversation. And also the data is fresh. The data, you know what ad is performing well, because you can do your A/B testing. You know, basically which region is ticking, which region is not. So everything is so quick, and so the turnaround, you're able to experiment. So for me, I wanted that shift in just my own CV, my own experience to understand that, because I'm more from that traditional marketing. I wanted to test something else on online. And if I look back, I believe I made the right decision.
I think you have. I think you've future-proofed yourself, to use a cliche that has been bandied about a lot lately. Yes, this greater understanding, almost the singularity in understanding of market, is great. You've got the data there, you can track it, but then you need the strategies in place to be able to react to that data so that it affects the bottom line and obviously the efficiency for the customer, because ultimately online, we want it. We want it fast. And as you say, in light speed in many instances, and we'll let you know, and other people know, if we aren't getting it
exactly.
Like that. So what strategies have you put in place?
So for me, the strategies is building a company from how I was brought up, the fundamentals. Because if I look at Stella and the team, they were pure entrepreneurs. They didn't know about basically that there's something called the virtuous cycle of growth. And as a corporate person coming into the business, I wanted to stamp those type of growth strategies without trying to make it too corporate. So it was, the first thing was leadership focus for me, was understanding who is in the team, because everyone was wearing multiple hats, and we still do. But now it was just saying, you're responsible for that. Like Stella was the founder, but now I want you to be the head of R&D. You're going to basically be running,
focus on what
you do best. Then we basically looked at hiring a head of sales, to say, we now need to look at opening more points of distribution. So for me, leadership and talent was the first thing to assess, first of all. The second one was strategy, focusing on what is our long-term strategy. Currently, entrepreneurs look at today and tomorrow. That is fine as you start, but as you grow, it's going to catch up with you. So now you need to look at the 3 to 5 years. And it's not too detailed, but just to say, where are we going? Just from those points. And for me, the third one was basically sales and marketing execution. Ensuring that we have in-market execution. So those P's that we know, you know, the 5 P's. Ensuring that you have a go-to-market. So for me, those things are fundamental, regardless of the size of business. But the minute you have those strategies, it helps you grow. And then the last one was return on investment focus. We need to be a business that is profitable, that we're driving the right mix from a channel. So we're going to the right channels, not everywhere. We're looking at the right products that are basically profitable. Because once you have that virtual cycle, it helps you to reinvest that marketing money into marketing. And then you have all the dollars to get the brand out and sell it. So those are the 4 strategies that I brought, was a focus on leadership, on looking at the long-term, medium to long-term strategy and having it in place. What are the 5 building blocks that we want? Marketing and sales excellence, that we need to drive distribution, marketing, flawless execution. So if you go to a Foschini, you see point of sale of Skoon, it needs to look like the big
Skoon.
Brands.
It exactly. Needs to look Skoon.
It needs to look Skoon. And the fourth one was basically return on investment, that yes, I am driving a business. We are obviously paying employees.
You were put there for a reason.
Exactly.
Let's be open and honest about
that. So it needs to be profitable, but also take that profit and push it back into the brand, so that you have much more demand and customers seeing the brand.
You're listening to the Bold Leap Business Podcast, brought to you by Sage and Fin24. I'm going to ring the bell, ding, 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 ding. We now move into round 9 as you take this to an international market. This is a brand with big plans. I'm looking at a CEO with big plans for that brand. But this is where it becomes quite interesting, because the international market is going to operate. They're not going to have the same experience with South African botanicals that you've had. Maybe not the same emotional buy-in point, but maybe we have become one global village, especially over the last year and a half. We've all shared one global experience. What are your plans for the global market, and how does a company prepare and create the infrastructure to be able to go global?
So that's also a false premise to say international might not necessarily want something like botanical. So for me, people don't buy brands anymore. People now buy into brands. And it's important that you need to have value as a brand. What do you stand for? What also do you stand against? You need to stand for something. Also, you need also to be unapologetic for what you stand for. So for me, that's where, when I came in 18 months ago, it was, and that's where I wanted us to move into this botanical, being proud of being African, ancestral beauty. Was for me, that's what the value of the brand is, regardless if you're sitting in Australia, you're sitting in Chicago. Why? Because if I'm selling you just a clean brand, any brand in international market is selling you that. But you need to have a story. You need to have something that ticks, that basically...
Well, if other countries are doing it, the French are doing it. Exactly. They're selling you something. It's amazing because it's French.
Exactly.
This is exactly from the Swiss. So it's amazing. So why can't? Why can't we?
Why can't we? And for me, that's especially having been in these markets, why are we apologetic of Africa? And that's where I would say, for me, this position of botanicals, of ancestral. And I love the word ancestral. It's all about taking the brand, looking at our forefathers, our forebearers, our foremothers. This is how they used to. Now I'm taking that old school and bringing in innovation and technology to it, and I'm taking it into the world. So to answer your question on international, for me, that's my story. That's why I'm excited to take school in international, because I'm not taking just a product. I'm taking the story. I'm taking a narrative. I'm taking the storytelling of this is who we are. And from a South Africa point of view, from an Africa point of view, but also from an international point of view. So as a team, we're excited. But yes, there's a lot of work that we're currently doing.
And I'm sure embracing it. It is very exciting. And you talk about R&D. How about 2,000 years of R&D? Because literally the last five generations have been using these botanicals. Yeah,
This has been an ongoing market research. This has been the longest market research in living history. That's basically it, if you look at it.
The first time someone took mud and put it on their face to achieve something.
And to achieve something. And why they achieved, why they put that, because I also didn't understand until now. And then I was like, wow, that's so clever. The mud or the clay was also, it was helping to mask, for masking, but also because it was taking all the oil buildup from your skin.
Drawing out impurities.
Exactly. Yeah. But that's, and now we're creating all these beautiful masks, but the same premise was there.
The wisdom of the gogo.
Yes.
Now, we see it playing out in so many other areas where these incredible gogos are looking after communities, are shaping the course of young people's lives. Why would it not be the case with botanicals?
Exactly.
I get you. I understand the narrative, and I love that. It sounds like you've had some interesting gateways to pass through in your journey. And as much as you're painting a very positive picture, I'm sure there have been moments where you've questioned yourself, questioned the process, questioned the big decision to make this move. What have been some of those biggest lessons you've learned through this path?
For me, the biggest lesson is patience.
Do you have it?
No, I don't. And I think at this point, I'm driving my team mad. And also, yes, it's a fault in the sense of, you know, I come from my previous life, corporate.
Fast-moving corporate as well, yeah.
And also, you had layers and layers of people. You know, you were just managing your thing, but you had other support from other functions. Here, you're literally a small team and people are doing so much, but you also want more out of them. So I had to, and I'm still a process where I have to step back and saying, actually, there's a lot on our plate. What can we focus on? And it's something that we term internally FBB, fewer, bigger, better.
Fewer, rather, bigger, better.
Focus on the few things make them bigger, let them explode, but also in a best way versus doing 10 or 20 things. And then you're just doing drip, drip, drip strategy. So for me, it's that type of thing that I've seen now that I need to also not unleash myself 100%, but that's been a tough one because I have all these ideas and what I want to do, but I also need to understand that, you know, the team also doesn't come from that experience. They only know what they know. So I need to basically take them on the journey, even if it means that it might be at a slower pace than what I'm used to.
Learning lessons as an entrepreneur now, and I recently heard the term intrapreneur, where you're an entrepreneur in a bigger structure. And I think you almost defy classification now because you've crossed.
Yes, I've crossed over, both.
into both
I've
sides.
Done both.
But I think every entrepreneur out there faces that same difficulty because you want to do it, you want to launch it, and you often then miss out on critical steps along that process. But I could just hear all the pens on paper, bigger, the better. I love that.
Fewer,
I really do.
Bigger, better.
I absolutely love that.
Be
FBB.
Focused and strategic versus try to touch as many things, because then you dilute the presence. So you dilute the magnifying microphone that you would have. So for me, that's what now I'm trying to bring that into the team. But yes, it's not as easy as it sounds.
It's a challenge. And it must be all good things need a challenging path. You yourself have mentioned, okay, bar a person being able to email you directly, and it seems like you take quite an active involvement in that process, but you have made it one of your pillars to listen to your audience. You yourself have said it's now a two-way conversation. So what tools do you use to get that information? How do you engage with your consumer?
For my engagement, I think currently with the Facebook group, that has made life obviously easy because obviously you have Facebook, you have Instagram, you have WhatsApp. So we have all of these things that we communicate with our audiences, but also our customer care line where they call in. But also they can come into the factory because we have people, the walk-ins,
wow.
Not in a bad way, but customers come in, knock at the door and saying, can I please have a skin consultation? So we basically sit with them, talk them through, because customers, to what I said earlier, they want someone to talk to. They ventured and left their home to drive to Skoon because they really wanted to buy the product, but they had questions. So they come into the company, we sit with them, we take them through the skin process. So we're using all the online e-commerce tools to communicate, but also that old school where people call in or also drop by.
You get that right, and you will have a customer for life.
Yes, exactly. Because now they've seen you, or they've seen a Skoon in person type of thing, and they know what you say to them, how you made them feel. Then they trust you. So, you know, tomorrow they might also not have skincare problem because sometimes they tell us about their personal lives or some other things, but you just have to sit there, even if you're busy, and just listen and hear. So to answer your point, it's obviously the new age ways of connecting, but also that old school of people can call in, people basically come in and we interact with them, especially Stella and my customer experience manager, Emma. They basically love to talk to this customer in that sense of detail and sitting around like the fire with them type of thing. So we have that, and we use it very well.
Builds that emotional investment, which is amazing to me. So all of these key lessons learned, the key tools that you've picked up on now in building an online business. Do you feel that you're getting it right in your journey as a CEO? And what are those tools that you would recommend for another brand that is looking to build their online presence and ultimately become a successful business online? What's been your key to success?
For me, I would say there are five things that you need to look at. And this is what I've seen coming in, is you need, first of all, to specify your niche and also basically your brand and what you stand for. You can't be in anything and everything to everyone.
Sure.
So you need to understand, this is what I'm selling, and this is the product. And also you need to understand your audience very well, especially with online. You're able to understand not only just what, you know, in the past you'll say they're LSM this, they're black, yeah, or they are white, or they live in Parkhurst, or they live wherever. Now you can go into the psychographic of that customer. You understand them very well. So for me, that's another thing that you need to know who your customer is.
It's almost a marketing singularity. It's exactly. The fact that you can get your market research done in the moment.
In the moment. And the third one for me is focus on content marketing. Content is still king, as the saying goes.
Okay.
So blogs, you need as a brand, you need to basically ensure that you are blogging at talking about today, we launch, let's say you have an ingredient, you want to talk about niacinamide, a vitamin B3. What is niacinamide? You need to write about it. And what we do at Schoon is we have a tonality of our brand where we say we are a friend brand. When we write up things, I want the customer to understand it in the way that I, as if I'm a friend, talk to another friend in that
accessible
way, not very high and scientific. And email marketing is critical. For me, you need to ensure that you're building your database on your email list, and you're sending out your emailers.
Spamming? Are you spamming
not
people?
Not spamming. It's not spamming. It's obviously strategic. It's not spamming, and obviously now with Poppy, people can refuse to.
We're a lot more savvy with the way we consume information
But for me, email marketing is critical, and most people don't understand that. And so for me, that content is king. And also the third thing for me, or the fourth thing, is invest in video marketing. Today, especially the young consumer, they want quick snippets of movement of video. That's why
TikTok.
You see TikTok is
booming. Yeah.
Booming. That's why TikTok is like, has gone wild. It's because of that. Customers or consumers now are able to create videos. So as a brand, you need to be able to create those short videos and not just that long 30-second, 35-second copies that we used to do in the past. So for me, from an online, you need to look at that. And the fifth thing is paid media is critical. Regardless of how many dollars or rands, small rands you have, ensure that you put some money into paid media. Why? Because it helps you to get reach. Because that's what you want. You want not only your core customers to know you, but also you want to start attracting more customers.
Sure.
And for me, reach is the first critical thing that, apart from engagement, reach is the most critical thing that you want. Because you want as many eyeballs to see your brand. Because for a person to engage with you, they needed to have seen you. So reach is the most important thing first. So for me, that's what I will say. And I will say lastly, establish partnerships. And this is with, like, especially PR, with influencers, with ambassadors.
Momfluencers,
all these things. Why? Because sometimes it's about that word of mouth. Sometimes it's about, especially now, influencers
just
are
the right
a business
endorsement.
Now.
Yeah,
exactly.
For sure.
They're driving these things. For me, a brand needs to have that partnership. Once you have all these elements, then you test and learn. And then the things that are doing well, you scale. Those for me, I would say, it's understanding your niche and finding a right a brand, basically understanding who your audience is very well. And then content is king. You need to be producing content marketing and videos. You need to drive that. And then you basically take that and put them into your paid media so that you can get much more reach, and then tag on to that old school PR or modern PR now with influencers and partners, webinars coming into these type of talks.
So the layers, for
exactly.
sure.
It's
yeah.
all about that, because that gives you all that online presence. So for me, it's not one thing. What I've seen is all these multiple things. And then once you've tested and learned, and that's a nice thing I like, You can test, and if something is not working, you scrap it. And tomorrow you do another thing. And the things that work, you put much more resource, you put much more rands or dollars behind that. And then those are the type of things that I would say is what the normal average person can do to start an online business.
And I suppose then it becomes even more important with this multidimensional flow of content out to have that one core, common, and in your case, very compelling narrative flowing through all
exactly,
of that.
Exactly.
So everyone always
that
knows where they stand.
Yes, exactly.
I love that. I'm just thinking you're so lucky there's not a camera here. Otherwise, you would have had to do a choreographed 15-second dance for TikTok. So you're getting off lightly for that one. I'm very excited now, and I am someone who buys in emotionally invests in things very quickly. And that might have happened because you've given me the gateway, but also partly because the brand is seeming so exciting for me. There seem to be, in your life cycle, you're at the beginning of something great. So what is next? To round us off here, inspire us with the next phase of Skoon's life cycle.
For us, what's next is always innovation. And that's one thing I love. We have in our pipeline, I would say from next month, we have a new innovation coming. I can't now say what it is.
We'll chat about that in our
exactly,
next podcast.
You'll see
it's
it,
cool.
What's coming. But also in the beginning of next year, we are also looking at partnering with doctors and dermatologists,
oh, okay.
But not just from understanding your skin, but understanding your skin in detail, that your DNA of the skin, and how then we can take these products, Skoon products, and our ingestible, and address the fundamental DNA, and not just the discussion on, oh, Graham or Tandy, you have dry skin, you have oily skin, you have normal or balanced skin. What is your genetics on skin, and how do we solve that? So for me, that's exciting. That's what we are coming with in the next, I would say, a couple of months. And again, that's new, and no one else so far is venturing into that, especially in a skincare brand or partnering with that scientific a DNA lab. And the bigger one is obviously international. We are currently working to opening doors. We are currently discussing with the US and the UK and Australia. We're sending a couple of products there. So that's also for me exciting that this narrative, the storytelling and the ingredients. And what I love is Skoon hasn't had to actually knock at people's door. It's the opposite. We are getting knocks at our door. We're literally being bombarded, and my sales team are like, we cannot do everything. And that's where the FBB, we are basically being bombarded with people saying, can we list your products in these countries? So that's basically what we are looking at doing next is how do we take Skoon and sell it to the American, to sell
how
it.
How do we increase capacity?
Exactly. How do we sell it to the international market? And for me, that's exciting. And also looking at also from a portfolio, yes, we are a lifestyle brand, but can we, because we are a skincare brand, we are all about skin, but is there other opportunities without broadening the range where we can go into? There's a lot that we can do with a brand. It's exciting, but again, we need to stick to that FBB because then we can go crazy.
I was convinced you were going to say breathables. The next phase is breathable skincare.
You never know.
You never, ever know.
Yeah, we are literally excited and we're innovating and looking at new technologies. So yeah, you'll never know what I can bring out or what we as a team can bring out.
But most importantly, you are staying true to yourselves, your vision, and you seem to be very proud custodians of a very proud tradition. Tread lightly, for it's upon my dreams that you tread. And I think you guys really do understand that you are carrying something that is delicate and fragile and special. And that, to me, is what's excited me most. So impressive. You're just the most impressive human being I've met in ages.
You are
wonderful. You've inspired me. I would imagine if there are any headhunters out there, they might be contacting you via that info line that you gave out a little bit earlier. But really exciting to see where you are headed with a South African company. Do you have dividends or shares?
Yes.
Any? Oh, well then.
I do.
Okay, good. Now I feel completely fine about this. This has been wonderful. It's been enlightening. Thank you so much for taking the time to open a window into your beautiful mind.
I enjoyed the conversation.
It really has been special. I think for the take home here, If you are wanting to launch a business online or take your business to the next level online, yes, there are amazing tools to use. Use them. They are there within the social media platforms that we engage with every day. Listen to your customers. Take the time to build a connection. But as we enter into this multi-dimensional space where we are blasting content and messaging out there, stay true to your vision. Know what that is and be unapologetic about it. Back yourself. Put it out there, and just like Squirn, the rest of the entire world might jump on board. And that's a wrap on this week's podcast. Join us again next time as we give you more tips to own your business journey. I'm your host, Graham Richards, and you are listening to the Bold Leap Business Podcast.